Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, August 23rd, One Take Wednesday, and this is a long passage, so please have grace with me today. I'm not going to plan to make any commentary at the end of the passage. I'm just going to read a prayer with you from the Diary of Private Prayer. But as we read, I just kind of want you to know the trajectory of the scripture. At first, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Christ, this beautiful picture of the gospel. When we used to work with the youth, we would say, remember 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5, because that is a picture of the gospel. It is articulation of what the good news is. And then we're going to read about the resurrection of the dead, how we, those who are in Christ, will be raised in our bodies from the dead. And then finally, he goes in more depth about the resurrection body. So as I read, I just pray that the Lord would open up the eyes of our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate his word and encourage us and challenge us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This section is entitled, The Resurrection of the Dead. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father, when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. And now we're moving into a section titled The Resurrection Body. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body, as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And stars differ from star to splendor in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As I mentioned earlier, I want to read with you a prayer from the Diary of Private Prayer. This is the evening prayer on the 31st day. Will you pray with me? O Lord, you are the Lord of the morning and of the night. You are the Lord of all the stars, and they are obedient to your will. We pray that our will would be submitted to you. O God, set us free from the stirrings of self-will within our hearts, from cowardly avoidance of the things we need to do, from rebellious reluctance to face necessary suffering, from discontentment with our place in life, from jealousy of those whose place in life is easier, from being dissatisfied with our talents, yet hungry for more, from the pride which sets human knowledge above your wisdom, from undisciplined thought, and from being unwilling to learn and disinclined to serve. O God, my Father, you are often closest to me when I am farthest from you, and you are near at hand even when I feel that you have abandoned me. Mercifully grant that the defeat of my self-centeredness may be the triumph in me of your eternal purpose. May I grow more sure of the reality of your power. May I reach a clearer picture of the meaning of my life on earth. May I strengthen my hold on eternal life. May I look increasingly to what lies beyond my vision. May my desires become less unruly and my thoughts more pure. May my love for other people grow deeper and more tender. And may I be more willing to take their burdens upon myself. To your care, O God, I commend my soul and the souls of all whom I love and who love me. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.